us.
Not at all.
Desire that to continue. Don't want to take anything away from that. I'm depending on the Lord again this morning, depending on your prayers, looking to the Word of God. Did want to mention, Brother sung a song about seeing Jesus for ourselves.
Yes.
You know, there's a couple ways to look at that. One way is wanting to see Him, because we all going to see Him one day for ourselves.
Yeah.
And it's about whether I'm going to be ready to see Him or not. So may the Lord help us each one to, if we have a desire to see Him, to be ready to see Him, because we all going to see Him one day. Certainly want to acknowledge this morning of Palm Sunday. And in thinking about that, the events that took place back in that time, I think about it this way. You know, as Jesus came into Jerusalem riding on the donkey, you know, that was there was those that it received Him, you know, and maybe a better word is acknowledged Him. They acknowledged Him as the Son of God. And, you know, as this was the beginning of what was about to take place before His crucifixion and His resurrection. But, you know, there's a difference between acknowledging and accepting. There's a great difference between those two. You think about the world that we live in today. There's a lot of people in our world today that acknowledge God, but they don't accept Him. You know, and all the things that Jesus did for us in doing that and coming to live on this earth, God sending His Son down on our behalf, acknowledging that is not going to mean a thing. You know, the brother talked about not wanting to see anybody lost. The only way you're not going to be lost is if you accept Him. You know, when you think about the different, I guess you can call them holidays that are represented in our calendar year. Different things that have significance. You know, Palm Sunday, and next Sunday is Easter, and you think about Christmas, and maybe you ponder in your mind, what's the best time to accept salvation? You know, maybe you would say, hey, it's Palm Sunday. No, the best time to get saved would be on Easter. Oh, no, the best time to be on saved is Christmas. You know, the best time to be saved, now. Now is the accepted time. The best time for each and every one of us is when we said, yes, Lord, I surrender myself to your hand. So that's the best time, is when God is dealing and when God is working with each and every one of us. You know, all the messages that we hear from Sunday in and Sunday out, it's all centered around, it's the same thing. You know, and every time that we hear the Word of God, it's another opportunity. It's another opportunity to make sure that all is well between us and with God. So again, I desire your prayers this morning. Just wanted to acknowledge that. That's not the message, but we certainly want to acknowledge that this morning. Again, but it all relates to God. It's all centered around Him and His love and His care and His kindness for us. Have you ever heard this expression? Keep an eye out. What does that mean to us? When somebody says, keep an eye out, does that mean that you are real casual and just kind of like nonchalant about it?
No.
Right? It means that you are vigilant.
Yeah.
And it's a vigilance that's not just for a moment of time. It's extended.
Yeah.
It means that I remain vigilant or watchful for something or someone. It's a watching carefully. You know, sometimes we can go in our neighborhoods and maybe they have a little sign. Everybody's seen those signs posted up. Neighborhood watch.
Yeah.
What's that mean? That means you keep your eye out. That means just be aware of things that may be going on in our community, in our neighborhood. Just keep your eyes open.
Yeah.
Keep your eyes peeled. Be aware what may be going on.
Yeah.
You know, I think about the great responsibility that parents have. the children.
Yeah.
You know, our children are a lot older now, but especially in babies growing up, thinking about the stages of growth with children. You know, they come out, they can't really do much for themselves, can't really move. I mean, they move around a little bit, but there comes a stage when they start. The first one is they flip over, right? You know, so maybe as a parent, you can leave them somewhere, and you know they are right, but till they start flipping over, then you got your eyes, right? You got to be watching. Yeah, they don't, you know, you have them on the bed, you turn around for 2 seconds, they flip. You know, they got to keep an eye on them, right?
Yeah.
And then they get to the stage where they start crawling, right?
Yeah.
They get a little bit mobile, right? And you can't turn your head, you know. They find everything, don't they?
Yeah.
Everything that you missed that was on the floor, just the smallest little things, right? They find it, don't they?
Yeah.
So you got to keep an eye out, don't you?
Yeah.
You can't turn your head or turn your back, so to speak, for you always have to be watching. And then they get to that next stage where they really get mobile, right? And they start walking. They go in other rooms and things like that. And then you have to be even more on guard,
yeah.
Right? And even you think about different ones of us in our parenthood, and you do all that we can to try to keep our children sheltered, shielded, and protect them. And I'm sure if we went all around the room, you know, we have to admit as parents, there's little incidents that happens. Guilty.
No
incidents that happened, turned my head for a moment, or got caught up with something else, and child got into something. Oh, but so you tell them to turn just one moment, something happens. Oh, but I'm so thankful. There's one that his eyes is always on us. His eyes is always on us.
Amen.
There's never a time that he's not watching us.
Right.
And I'm thinking about this message this morning. I was looking to the Lord, and it seemed like this scripture just kept coming back to my mind. And it's somewhat related to being in the hands of God, but it just describes more of the anatomy of God in terms of how he's watching out for us. Come on, everybody help the Lord to talk about the eyes of the Lord this morning.
Yeah.
I'd like to begin in Psalm the 34th chapter and the 15th and 16th verses.
The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous.
The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous.
And his ears are open unto their cry.
And his ears are open unto their cry.
The face of the Lord
is against them that do evil.
To cut off the remembrance of them from the earth.
It says here in this verse that the eyes of the Lord is on the righteous. And his ears are open unto their cry. You know, the one thing that really sticks out in my mind in this verse is not only just the eyes of the Lord, but it says it's upon the righteous. So that lets me know that there's a special attention that he pays to those that are endeavoring by the grace and by the help of God to live in a way that's pleasing and honoring to him.
Yes.
So in other words, this lets me know I have some extra attention. You know, his eyes are really tuned in and watching out for me.
Yes.
When I'm living in a way that's pleasing and honoring to him. And not only this makes reference not only to his eyes, but it says his ears also is open to their cry. So he's watching and he's listening for his precious children. Those that are endeavoring to live for him, he's got a keen interest in, according to this verse. And then it also lets us know that the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. So in other words, he's watching and he's looking at everything But he's not. He's against it. He stands against it. His desire and his purpose for sending his son was for to give a possibility for all of us to live righteous. You know, that was his purpose. It says not winning that any should be lost. Right? But all should come to repentance. So if God Almighty had his way, everybody would be saved. It would be, that's his desire. He didn't die hoping that somebody, his hope was for every soul. So it bothers him when somebody is not living in a way that's pleasing and honoring. The face of the Lord, he's against them that do evil. To cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The eyes of the Lord. When we think about, what does he do for us? I mean, we could go on and we could just name multiple things. We could have a list that would be more than we could comprehend. But he directs and guides us. He protects us. You know, again, we made the analogy of a parent with a child. And you know, in all of our efforts as parents to not let our child out of our sight to shield and protect them, we still, sometimes we just can't help it. But God's eyes being over the righteous, there's never a moment where he's not looking out for us.
Amen.
We're always in his sight. We're never out of his sight. Right? None of God's children, the writer says, are ever from under his eye.
That's right.
As long as I'm a child of God, he's always got his eye. The eye of the Lord is watching over me.
Thank you, Lord.
No matter what I do, he's watching me, looking out for me. What a blessing, isn't it? And you know that the fact that he can do that for each and every one of us individually. You know, parents, again, I think about being a parent. You know, when you have one child, you can take turns, so to speak. Right? But then when you have two, it's like you got one and I got, then you have three. And then, but God, his eyes is watching over each and every one of us individually. Isn't that wonderful? God's got his eyes on me. But you say, no, he's got his eyes on me. Yes, he does. He's got his eyes on all of us. All of us that are endeavoring to live before him in a way that would please and that would honor him. And it's a watchful and a tender care and concern that he has for each and every one of us. We've made mention of this before. What does it mean when there's a verse that's in the Bible? You read it, and then you keep reading, and then you find it somewhere else. Sometimes they're in the same. Sometimes it's Old Testament, New Testament, New Testament. Sometimes it's in the Old and it's in the New. That generally means there's an emphasis, right? To be placed on that verse. You might have guessed it already. You might already know. Where is it? Is this verse found somewhere else? It's in 1 Peter. That's where it is. It's in 1 Peter 3 and 2. What do you think it says? Let's go there and find out. First Peter 3 and 12. I'm sorry. I said 2. 1 Peter 3 and 12.
For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous.
For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous.
And his ears are open to their prayers.
And his ears are open unto their prayers.
But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil.
But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. Does that sound for me? I believe if you look at them side by side, is word for word. The eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers.
Thank the Lord.
Well, there's the difference. One says prayers, and the other says cry. All right. So, I mean, okay. So, a cry maybe is a prayer that you can't utter.
That's right.
All
right?
Yeah. So, it's the same thing. In other words, the purpose in it and what's in it for me is, Lord, help me to remain righteous.
Yes.
Lord, I want to be righteous because I want your eyes always looking at me.
Yes.
Being a concerned and cared for what's going on in my life.
Yes.
Yes.
And it's reiterated to us again and again. And then he says it again. He's against evil.
Yes. Thank the Lord.
He is against those that do evil. It says that his anger and displeasure for it. Let's go back to Psalms now. We're going to pick up the rest of those verses there in the 34th chapter. We'll pick up in verse 17. And then we'll continue to look at this thought this morning. So Psalm 34 and 17. So we know it says that the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cries. And it says, the face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off remembrance of them from the earth. What does it say in verse 17?
The righteous cry.
And the Lord heareth.
And delivereth them out of all of their troubles.
Amen.
The Lord is nigh unto them. That is of a broken heart. And saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. But the Lord delivers him out of them all.
When I think about these verses of scriptures, we established in the foundation here in Psalms, is repeated here in Peter, but then the writer goes on to just expound it a little bit more. If you weren't convinced yet, you know, the fact that the eyes of the Lord is over the righteous. He's watching, he's looking, he's shielding, he's sheltering, he's protecting, and he's against those that do evil. If that wasn't convincing enough, then the writer has some more to say about it. It said here about their cry. He said the righteous cry, and the Lord hears.
Yes,
the righteous cry, and the Lord hears.
Yes.
You know, a lot of times we make reference, sometimes we talk about a prayer hearing and a prayer answering God.
Amen.
Then all of those things is based on the Word of God.
Amen.
This is the proof of it right here.
Yes.
It says the righteous cry, and the Lord hears.
That's right.
Then did it say that you have to use these eloquent words, and the speech and how you say it has to be perfect? And you have to be able to explain it to the nth. It says the righteous cry.
Amen.
And in another place in the Word, it says in talks about us in groanings and utterings of things that maybe we can't put into words.
Right.
I'm not talking about gibberish this morning. I'm talking about things that maybe you can't express with words.
Right.
That you just, all you can do is cry.
That's right.
God can understand that.
Yes.
It said when the righteous cry,
yes,
he hears.
Yes.
His ears are tuned in.
Yes.
But what if it's a faint cry?
Yes.
You know, I'm sure, nowadays as parents, we got monitors and all kind of things, cameras. When I was a child, they didn't have all that. I know, but God gives a parent and a mother, especially a keen ear. Right, you can have conversations going on, and just a minute, the baby's crying. And then you go, yep, they up. Think about God now. His ears open to our cry. The righteous cry, and the Lord hears. And then he delivered them out of the trouble.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank the Lord. Oh, but maybe I'm not righteous. See? He gives hope, doesn't he?
Yes,
yeah.
He does.
He gives hope to say, maybe I'm not there right now, but this all hope is not lost.
Amen.
He says, the Lord is nigh unto them. When I come to God with my brokenness,
yes.
When I come to God and I say, I'm going through some things, I can't handle it. What I'm going through is too hard for me.
Yes.
That broken spirit. When you say, I need some help.
Yes.
That's what God is. That's what he wants to hear from each and every one of us.
Yes.
He just wants us to say, we throw up our hands and say, I need help.
Yes.
That's what a broken spirit is. It says the Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart. And saveth such as be of a contrite spirit.
Amen.
In other words, acknowledging, Lord, I need help.
Yes.
I cannot do this on my own.
Right.
I need some divine help.
Yes.
Amen.
And that's when he can come in and say,
he will.
Yes, you need some help. That's why I'm here.
Yes.
That's why I sent my son to die.
Right.
To help us out. You know, life is difficult. It is. When God is with us, he helps us out.
Yes.
And he makes it better for us.
Thank you, Lord.
Not only that, it says, many are the afflictions of the righteous.
Yes.
But the Lord delivereth them out of them all.
Amen.
I didn't say that. That's what the word says.
Amen.
Does that mean I'm not going to have to suffer anything?
No.
No. But there's going to come a point in time where he's going to deliver me.
Amen.
And in order to be delivered, I want to be faithful.
Amen. Amen.
This is the word of God here.
Lord.
So there's several things going on here. There's some facts. You know, a lot of times maybe in school or maybe as you evaluate something, you may have a list that you'll create, right? Maybe on one side you'll have the pros, right?
Yeah.
And then on the other side you'll have the cons, right?
Yeah.
So in reading the Word of God this morning, then we recognize some pros and some cons,
yeah.
Right? So we know on the pro side is a righteous, being righteous,
yeah.
Right? That's a pro. It's not only a blessing for, it's just a blessing for our life.
Yeah.
It's just a better life to live righteous.
Yeah.
And it's a choice that each and every one of us have.
Yeah.
So the other option, see, because the eyes of the Lord is on the righteous, right?
Yeah.
His ears open to their cry. But then you have the privilege to be unrighteous, right?
Sure.
So that's a con, right?
Yes.
It's a con.
Yes.
Your life is worse when you don't have God with you every day. You can debate it if you want to, but you can line up everybody that has a genuine experience with God and ask them, how was your life before you gave it to God?
Amen.
And then ask them, how has it been since? Every single one of them going to tell you it's better to live right here.
Amen.
So this is the righteous is on the pro side and on the con is unrighteous. All right. So based on what we've read here this morning, it says the Lord is regardless. The Lord is watching, right?
Yeah.
However I live. And we're going to get to some other scriptures. But regardless of how I live, his eyes, he's on me. He's watching.
Yeah.
So here's the difference now. So the directing, guiding, protecting, keeping, he hears and he delivers. We read all, right? We read about this morning,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
The one was, the writer said, about God directing and guiding them to protect and to keep them. Right? So that's related to the eyes of the Lord being on the righteous. So on the pro side, we can put direct, guide, protect, keep, hear, and deliver. Right? Because it says he hears us and he delivers us out of all of our troubles, our afflictions. He delivers out of, so he does all those things for us. That's the blessing of living a righteous life. So let's put that on this side. You may not be able to see him, but direct, guide, right, protect. He hears, he delivers, and he's able to keep us. All right? So, and we read here that the face of God is against them that do evil. He's against them that do evil. Right? And it said, remember in that verse, it says, where'd it go? But the eyes of the Lord is against them that do evil. And the writer, in expounding upon that verse, says he's against it. His anger and his displeasure, those are the kind of feelings that he has for those that are not living a way that's pleasing and honoring to him. So God is not happy with us. He's displeased with us. Those are the kinds of feelings that he has toward us. All right, so just as it is, you know, when you make the list, right, you weigh the pros and then you weigh the cons.
Yeah.
This is in the Word of God.
Amen.
Everything that it's right here. It's not something I came up with. It's right here. So it says the eyes of the Lord, he's watching everything. So we have a choice to live righteous or unrighteous. Is it a difficult decision? If you just look, and this is just a short list. We could add to it. You could put more things here. But just based on what we've read, and I challenge you, you can dig some more and find more. You can add to the list. If you say, I don't believe you, preacher, you can add to the list and see how it turns out. But from my perspective, it seems like it's a pretty easy decision. You agree with that? I live righteous. My life is better for me, not only for me, but for those around me, those that I come in contact with. And I have God's eyes is watching me to direct me, to guide me, to protect me, to hear, to deliver me. And then the alternative is I can live an unrighteous life. I'll be unhappy with myself, be unhappy with those around me. And not only that, but then I have to deal with the displeasure of God.
Yeah.
It seems pretty easy, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Based on this, right?
Yeah.
But you know, we'll just add a little more. Let's go to Jeremiah. Jeremiah 32:19. Maybe it's not convincing enough yet.
Great in counsel.
Great in counsel.
And mighty in works.
And mighty in works.
For thy eyes are open upon all the ways of the sons of men.
For thine eyes are open upon all the ways of the Son of Man.
To give everyone according to his
ways.
And according to the fruit of his doing.
And according to the fruit of his doing.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Now this adds another layer, doesn't it?
Yes.
It says he's great in counsel and mighty in works, and his mighty eyes are open upon all the ways of the sons of man. So in other words, he's beholding the evil and the good. So in other words, there's nothing that escapes his eye. And then not only that, He's taking note of everything that's going on in each and every one of our lives. But then he's going to give everyone according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings.
Yes.
So in other words, there's going to come a time when I have to reap, right?
Amen.
Reap what I've sown, so to speak.
That's right.
In other words, I'm going to have to pay for how I've acted. I got to make a give an account for it.
Yes.
Right? I have to give an account to God. He's watching. But there's going to be a point in time when I have to give an account. Where I have to stand before him. And then I'm going to receive recompense according to my ways and according to the fruit of my doings. So then, those eyes that are watching, they become the judge then.
Right.
They become the judge for what have I done? How do I appear before God and know that his eyes don't miss anything?
Right.
There's no blinking. You know, we can, as human beings, we can blink and miss something. Did you see that? I was blinking. I turned my head for a second. Oh, it was. I can't believe you didn't see that. There's God doesn't blink. He sees everything. You know, I'm so thankful God sees everything.
Amen.
I'm reminded of, you may have heard this story before, but there was a time that, you know, again, parents, children, just. No matter how you do your best, things happen. We was at a family event at a park one time, and one of the children came up missing. You know, turn your head for a few moments. I mean, all the family around, everybody, where's so-and-so? Oh, I don't know. I haven't seen them in a while. Where'd they go? Aren't you thankful God's not like that?
Yeah.
Thank the Lord. We found the child.
Amen.
Thank the Lord. But you know, I'm so thankful that God doesn't turn his head. But my problems, you know, each of us, the things that we face in this life, they're most difficult to each and every one of us individually, right? They are, right? And if God has his complete focus on Brother Henry and what he's going through, what about me? But see, in his power and his might, he can concentrate on multiple things at a time. You know, as human beings, we get so focused in on one thing and something else can be going on around us that we're completely oblivious to. That doesn't happen with God. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous. His ears are open to their cry. Time is really moving on me this morning. I'm going to just continue. Let's look at something else. We talk about how close attention does God pay to you and I. You know, we're all familiar with the verse of Scripture. It talks about the very number of our hairs are numbered. Right? We're all familiar with that one. But you know, it goes even beyond that. Let's go to Job, 31st chapter, the 4th through the 6th verse. This is something that, you know, even with the hairs on our head, we don't even know. I'm not going to even tell you the last time. I'm going to just tell you I have never tried to count the numbers of hair on my head. Maybe some of you all have. What else does God pay close attention to? Maybe that we don't even realize. What does it say in Job 31, verse 4?
Doth not he see my ways and count all my steps?
Doth not he see my ways and count all my steps?
If I have walked with vanity,
or if my foot hath hasted to deceit.
Let me be weighed in an even balance.
Let me be weighed in an even balance. That God may know mine integrity. Do you notice that he says that there's a question mark after that fourth verse? Doth not he see my ways and count my steps?
Yeah.
All right, raise your hand if yesterday you counted your steps. Yeah, you know we have these little fancy gadgets that we can wear now. Right, they count our steps for us, and we just, I guess they're accurate, that it's based on your stride length and all that, so it can give you a pretty good idea. But, you know, sometimes just miscalculate, I could be standing and waving my arms, and that counts as a step. But God is counting my steps. The eyes of the Lord now. My steps? He counts them? For all of us, for you and you and all.
Yeah. Amen.
He counted my steps.
Yeah.
You know, that's wonderful, isn't it? It's wonderful if you're on this side.
Yeah.
Right.
Not quite as wonderful if you're on this side. Because if you're not doing what's pleasing and honoring to God, maybe there's some steps you're doing that you don't want him to count. But he's counting them.
Amen.
The eyes of the Lord are upon the ways of man. God knows, he sees what room we walk by and what company we walk with. He sees what end we walk towards and therefore what ways we walk in. He not only, the writer said, sees, but takes notice. He counts all of our steps, our false steps, our by steps, every action, every motion. God takes a more exact notice of what we do than we do ourselves. You believe that?
Yes. Amen.
Whether or not you believe it, it's in the Word of God.
Amen.
And His Word is true.
Yes.
He's a God that cannot lie. So He's counting every step. You know, sometimes it's hard for us to fathom these types of things. But here's a way for us to relate to our humanness. Here's one thing that when we think about our eyes, there's certain activities that we do that require that our eyes are of the utmost importance. Okay? And one of those things is driving. Would you agree with me this morning that your eyes are extremely important to driving?
Yeah.
Right? All right. So here's some facts from driversed.com, okay? When gathering information with your eyes is called visual perception, all right? And safe driving depends on your ability to notice many things at once, all right? To get information to the brain, a driver's eye has to move constantly and pick out appropriate spots at the right times. Most driving mistakes are caused by bad habits in the way the drivers use their eyes. Those of us that drive around maybe a little bit, would you agree with that?
Yeah.
You're driving along and you see the car next to you with the driver on their eyes, something other than the road.
Right.
We see it all the time. Right? And this is what we have to understand. Our tendency is, as human beings, our focus. What we focus on, that's where our eyes go. Whatever our eyes are focusing on, that's where our mind goes. That's the direction that we go in.
Yeah.
guess what happened to me last week? I was focusing on something besides the road. You know, we have the GPS, right? I was looking at an alternate route. Eyes got distracted. Hey, I'm looking at an alternate route on the GPS, and then I started going that way. It's like, wait, I don't want to go that way.
Yeah.
That's our humanness.
Yeah.
We are, that's us. Oh, I'm so thankful God's not like that. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. That your eyes can, you know, there's one thing that we can be there. You in life, generally speaking, it's not good to be selfish.
Amen.
But you know what? With God, you can be selfish. Right? You can be selfish with God. Because Lord, I need you. Please don't take your eyes off of me, Lord. Please keep your eyes on me. And that's all right. Because God has the ability to do it. And he can have the same care and concern for all of us at the same time. Maybe sometimes it might look like he's not, but he is.
Amen.
The same care and concern that he has for brother and sister so-and-so, he has for you as well.
Yes.
Even if it don't look like it sometimes. God is continually watching over us and protecting us. You know, there was a time in Job's life, and I'm not going to go there for the sake of time. I'll make reference to the scriptures. It's in Job 23:8-10. But there was a time in Job's life where he was going through some troubles and some tribulation, and he thought that the eyes of the Lord had forgotten about him. Because he said, I look to the forward where I usually see you. You're not there. I look behind. I don't see you there either. On the left hand where you normally work is not on the right hand. But he said, the Lord knoweth the way that I take.
Amen.
His eyes are on me all the time.
Yes.
He's always watching, yes, even when it seems like he's not.
Amen.
Lord, help me.
Yes.
Help me, Lord, to live in a way,
yes,
that I can always have your eyes,
yes,
watching me.
Yes.
He's going to be watching anyways, but I want the benefits of these over here.
Yes.
So my responsibility then is to live righteous.
Yeah.
If I want God looking out for me all the time, then I must live righteous. I must live in a way that's pleasing and honoring to him. And you know, it's something that we can always, there's a verse of the song that we sing that this is my desire. This is my prayer. This is my desire. For in my walk with God, it says in the first verse of Psalm number 39, it says, God omniscient, God all wise,
yes,
with thy ever searching eyes.
Yes.
Lord, not only would you watch out and do all these things here, this is something else that we can add to the list. Lord, look in me. You my heart. Keep me pure in every part. Lord, I want to remain in that place on a daily basis. The eyes of the Lord is over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. But don't forget now, what that's not the all of the verse, right? The next one says, and the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. You want the eyes, God's eyes. You want, it's up to each and every one of us.
Yes.
I mentioned at the beginning, every time the word of God comes forth, it's an opportunity for us.
Yes. Yes.
It's an opportunity.
Yes.
Do I want this side or do I want this side? It's up to me. My desire by the grace and help of God is to live in a way that's pleasing and honoring.
Yeah.
I desire your prayers. Appreciate your time and your attention.